Together in his presence, how the move of the Holy Spirit so very often confirms the message that God would have us to hear. And I want to talk today on faith. We don't go very long, do we, in our teaching, where we find that the Lord again brings us back to teachings on faith. And we have a title for this teaching this morning: Our Walk of Faith Doesn't Change. Our Walk of Faith Doesn't Change. Now, what is so amazing about our walk of faith is that we have the Bible, we have history that shows us all those in Christ have walked the same walk. You know, so often we find that our walk of faith is somehow different. Maybe others haven't walked quite like I've walked, or I've gone through certain experiences that others have not gone through. But I can well assure you that our walk of faith is the same walk that all our brothers and sisters in Christ through the centuries have walked the same. For God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we're told in Ecclesiastes that there's nothing new under the sun. And so whatever you're going through, whatever your experience, whatever you're being tempted with, whatever the devil's suggesting to your mind, I've got news for you, there's nothing new about it. In fact, our Lord also was tested at all points the same, yet he sinned not. I marvel at that. That is a miracle. It is the greatest miracle on planet Earth that our Lord and Savior Jesus never succumbed to any of it, never fell into temptation. We're told that he learned obedience through the things that he suffered, being brought up the same as us, and yet he was without sin, without guile. Is that not a miracle? Is that not God's mighty hand redeeming mankind through Jesus Christ? You know, our God is a great God. It's just that he doesn't always reveal himself in the ways that we would want him to. He so often is found in that still small voice, in the center of the whirlwind. And many Christians need to adapt to that. We heard in prophecy, so many want the broad way. So many want the noise, the hustle. They want to see these figures, these empires. They want to see these ministers who have huge followings, who have great big personalities, who boast of their ministry and their outreach and so forth. Yet God is also looking for the Elijahs. God is also looking for the John the Baptists. And this is why God brought a nation of Israel out of all of that into the wilderness, where he said, I will meet with you and I will prepare a table in the wilderness. I will furnish, I will protect you, I will clothe you, I will keep you. I will feed you. That is where God is to be found. He's not to be found in Babylon. When will believers wake up to this? Because those who are truly born again and filled with the Spirit will find that the Spirit is grieved when we still want to live in the world and act like the world. You will find the Holy Spirit will be grieved in you. And we can grieve the Holy Spirit so very easily. That is what's so sad about all of this. But there is a remnant who are yielding and obeying God, as we heard in prophecy this morning, who have heard the voice, come out from among them, and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. God has always separated people to himself. That is the working of the Spirit. He has done this since man fell. And some yield to it, and others don't. And even if we find it difficult, then God has said he will work with these hearts of stone and change them to hearts of flesh. As we yield over to him, as we admit and be honest, God will work. He's still doing that in this assembly. There are still things that some of us are grappling with that we're not yet completely honest before the Lord. And yet he waits upon us so that we bow the knee, we confess it, we tell him how difficult, how hard it is, or maybe my heart is not in it. One day God may get you to a point in a trial where you will hear what comes out of your mouth, Lord, my heart is not in this. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Don't stop there. Continue with it. Tell him that you want that change. And he will. He will work on your behalf. And very often he works a lot quicker than you realize. That is the love and grace and mercy of God. We still, in full gospel assembly, and others who may be listening to this, we still have to be honest that there are still areas yet I don't want to change. And so we push it under the carpet, we become hard of hearing, and I'll deal with it tomorrow, and of course tomorrow never comes. We deal with it today, now. This is why we have the word preached to us. This is why God brings us into his presence, so he gets us to face our giants. And guess what? They're not half as big as you think they are. The devil makes such a big noise. He makes such a fuss. He blows things out of proportion in our mind and thinking and attitude. And when you finally get delivered, you finally come through, you think, well, what was that all about? Wars have often been started on the most trivial things. And that is the problem of the pride of man. Well, our walk of faith doesn't change. And nor does the scriptures change, because it says, doesn't it, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, which we know very well, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, it's interesting, in the context of this verse, or Paul is actually speaking about being physically absent from the Lord. And this is what he leads into, because often we recite that, but what is the Apostle Paul actually referring to in the context of verse 7? Well, we get it if we read verse 1 from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, which says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. So this idea of walking by faith and not by sight means that you are experiencing your place in heaven with Christ Jesus. This has to be revealed to you. This has to be an affection of the heart, because I am convinced, and I will read more of this, if the church, if FGA is to stand and to triumph and overcome in these last days, her heart, her affection, her desire must first and foremost be with Christ seated in heavenly places. And we have got to start experiencing this groaning in our flesh, in this body. How long, Lord? When will you come? When will you come to deliver us? When will you take me home? I've had enough of this world. However, I will remain here for your glory until you come for me. But my heart's desire is not in this world, not in this place. It is with you in glory. I believe the bride has to have that unction within her. And only you can answer that. Because it goes on. But even if a gospel... If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. So this... being in Christ in heavenly places, in this eternal heaven, has much to do about keeping our garments clean. Because it says, if indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. Clothed with those robes of righteousness, instead of naked by what sin does and unbelief. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that the mortality may be swallowed up by life. So putting on this new garment, putting on this new glorified body, this new race that is now found in Jesus Christ, this new family, that is what we should be pressing in for. Why am I saying this? Because more and more we should find or be experiencing that this flesh that we are in limits us to what I want, to what I'm eternally set for. This flesh will not inherit the kingdom of God. It has to be put off and a new one put on. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee, so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. So the baptism of the Spirit is a guarantee. It's a soul sign. It's an empowerment. It's, in a sense, a substitute until we experience the real thing. That's what he's saying. And then he goes on, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. He's living in two worlds. He's passing through. He's in a transitional experience. And this is what it should be for FGA and all those that love his appearing, waiting for him. We're in this transitional experience, passing through. This world doesn't mean anything. This world's got no hold on me. I'm not interested in it. I'm not claiming things in it. Whatever I'm blessed by the things of this world, praise God, is a blessing. But it doesn't alter, it doesn't change anything. Do your blessings still change you with regard to your relationship to God? Have you had a great blessing this week, and as a result of that blessing, oh Lord, I will never deny you. I will do anything for you. Oh, I love you from my heart. That's come as a result of your blessing. It's not come as a result of you experiencing seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what he really wants from us. Again, we were picking that up this morning from that prophecy. So our walk of faith doesn't change. You see, for a while, when we're saved, we're more concerned about our personal needs, which also includes our trials. We heard again this morning in prophecy about it. But we like to walk, don't we, in that spotlight. We like to know that we walk in faith. We like to know that we're given the truth and everything. We like to tell others, oh, I've gone through a trial this week, and praise God, he brought me through, and the Lord is faithful, and so on. And that has a place. Don't get me wrong. But too often, we are referring to those things because we like the spotlight. Just keep telling me God loves me. I want to feel those goosey bumps and everything. You grow so often when it appears that God doesn't speak. You grow and mature when it seems God is a million miles away. Where are you? You have forsaken me. That is the time when you start to really grow and mature and develop as sons and daughters, which is what God wants in the house of God. That is where you really develop. You see, the point is, and we need to learn this, God wants us hidden until the appointed time in which he will then manifest us to groaning creation. Accept it. Settle it. Stop fighting against it. We still want to be in the spotlight. We still want to tell people, look at me, I walk by faith and not by sight. Well, what is new about that? Nothing new. Except the fact God has got the overcomers, the bride who's making herself ready. She's hidden from the world until an appointed time, and then she will be revealed. And what a revelation it will be to the world. God isn't about to reveal this yet. And we try at times to force his hand. We get all moody and upset. Nothing's happening. I told you over and over again, and will continue to repeat this. This is God's divine plan for the manifestation of the sons of God. Read it again in Revelation 12. She is hid in the womb of the woman being the church, until the appointed time, till she is revealed to the world. And it isn't Jesus Christ, it isn't Israel, because the book of Revelation was not written to Israel, it was written to seven Gentile churches. And it speaks of the future. Jesus has already been born. He's already been revealed to the world as the Savior of the world. So who is this? It is the bride that's making herself ready. It's the overcomers. And there will be an appointed time of her revealing and revelation to the world. Because most of the church doesn't want to know. Most of the church wants the highways and the byways. Most of the church wants the broad way. But Jesus said it is a narrow way, and few there be that find it. This sorts out the men from the boys every time. It does. That is why our walk of faith doesn't change, brothers and sisters. God didn't get it wrong when he brought us in to the deeper light.
Amen.
He made no mistake. Sure. I've had to battle this one, brothers and sisters. As your pastor and minister, I've battled this on and off for years. And I come back by the mercy and grace of God and I settle it. And do you know how I settle it? Because I settle it on something very simple that God finished with in prophecy. I love you. And his love will not deceive us. That work which I've begun, I will complete and finish, says the Lord in his word.
Glory to God.
I settle it on that. Amen. I settle it on the greatest thing, the greatest commandment, which is love. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and being, because that is how he loves us. And that love will never separate us from the love of God. You can only walk by faith if your faith is motivated by the love of God through the word of God.
Yes.
There's no other way. No other way. You see, so many today want a faith that so brightly illuminates me. I want a faith where everyone can see my halo. Everyone can see my blessings. Everyone can see how I prosper. Look at all the designer wear that I wear. Look at the great car that I have out in the driveway. Look at the house that I live in. Look at the food that I eat. Now, I'm not against any of those things. But I am against those who boast in those sort of things, yet are up to their eyeballs in debt. What hypocrisy. And yet, sadly, so many in the house of God are like that. They speak of this faith, and yet they are in tremendous debt. Faith brings you out of debt. And faith will start you at the basics, at the beginning.
Yeah.
And faith will work deliverance, and faith will work that pride out of you as he starts to bring you out of debt.
Yes.
That's the order, and most don't like that.
Sure.
Most don't like it. I told you our walk of faith doesn't change. I have no problem with a saint who will have a Rolls Royce in the driveway. But I know that that Rolls Royce has cost them everything. That is the point. But you see, there's another point to look at as well. Will that Rolls Royce be a witness to the house of God? That is often the question. You know, if you grow in Christ, you will find that he will say to you sometimes, yes, you can have that if you want, but I'm not sure it will help build the body of Christ.
Sure.
It could well be a hindrance, yes, a stumbling block.
Yeah.
So I would prefer to have something modest than to be a hindrance to my brother and sister.
Amen.
I can have it. I can have all what the world can give, but I choose not to for the sake of the building of the body of Christ and those who be weak in the faith.
Sure.
It's the same with drinking wine or having a drink. We are at liberty and free to drink, not to get drunk, but there are times I choose not to drink, because there are some who are weak in the faith. And I have abstained for that very purpose and reason, because my heart's desire is for the building of the body of Christ. That always takes precedence over my needs and my wants. And some of us need to get that balanced in our lives. We really do. Because it's not about halos that you wear. Hey guys, look at me, my walk of faith. You see, it is a wrong spirit. Some need deliverance from that, to fully understand what the Holy Spirit is saying in their lives. My heart's desire is that you all prosper and be in health in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is my prayer for everyone in this assembly and everyone who listens to this teaching. I want you to prosper. Of course, who doesn't want a brother and sister to prosper? But I don't want your prosperity to cause you to be blinded to the word of God. That is the question. That is the question every time. Why am I saying this? Why am I stressing this so much? Because if you continue down this road, you will be of no value to God. I'm not saying you will lose your salvation, but do you want to be of value to God? Because I believe the bride is. She's to marry him. She's to live and walk side by side by him. If you marry a wife or a husband, you marry them because they are of value. Not value in the sense financially, but value for the building, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Everything we do must be for the building of this body. Everything that I face, I ask that question, does this edify, will this build the body of Christ? Will this help my brother or my sister? That is the question. Most of us yet are not in that place. We're still consumed with self. My needs, what I want. But you see, God's restoring us back to apostolic faith. And that faith will consider my brother, my sister. Because blessings, and I've said about being blessed, and I want you blessed, but your blessings are also to bless others as well. Yes. My heart's desire is whatever God blesses me, I want to bless my brother and sister as well. That should be our heart's desire, but some have not yet come to that place because they still prefer their halos over their head. They still prefer the spotlight. Hey guys, look at me, I'm here. Sorry, but it goes on.
Lord, have mercy.
Yes, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy, Lord. You see, to stand against the spirit of this age requires the gift and the power to believe. Amen. And it's called faith.
Amen.
This is why we make so much about faith. This is why faith is so important, because my faith in this world is that I may overcome the power and the spirit of this age, because otherwise it's going to consume me. It's going to cause me to compromise. It's going to cause me to change my mind. And we've all gone through that, haven't we? We've all been positive, yes, I'll do this, only to find 24 hours later we do completely the opposite. So I am dependent on the power of the Spirit to maintain and keep and support me as a believer to walk by faith and not by sight. You see, many, sadly, who no longer walk in this walk, left it to the fact, oh, faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God and reading the Word of God. So their faith is purely on that. It's a lot more than that. It's about the one who reveals his word to us in order for us to receive and maintain faith. That's what it's about. It was done in their own ability and their own intellect, which I heard from prophecy this morning. Many interpret faith simply from an intellectual understanding. Because I understand it, I therefore am in faith and I walk in faith. No, you're not. Our faith comes as the Holy Spirit teaches us the Word of God. And that is the only way then seed will be sown in the heart. The Holy Spirit is the only one who can sow that seed within our hearts. Your intellect, your education can never do that. That's why it is a stumbling block to most. And yet God is on the throne where this is concerned, isn't he?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Praise you, Lord. Mm-hmm.
You see, I'm a believer, and some may find this very difficult, what I'm going to say here, but when we are looking to faith and promises only, it's a sign we don't actually want God. Because it's not enough. It's not enough. It violates the first to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your might, with all your being, with your everything. That is the first command. And everything then comes from that.
Yes.
Including the promises and the power to believe and so forth. You have got your priorities right. This is why marriages don't work. This is why 1 in 3 end in divorce and separation. Because they come together for the wrong motive, the wrong reason. God receives us as we are. With all our baggage, with all our problems, you name it, he receives us and accepts us on that basis. No strings.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's as simple as that. Therefore, my commitment to God,
Jesus, Lord,
as simple as that in that sense. And even he has to teach me that.
That's right.
Whatever you do,
praise you, Lord.
Whether you even slay me, says Job, yet I will still believe.
Thank you, Lord.
Because it's not about anything else, it's simply about you and I in relationship together. That is all that matters.
Yes.
Promises, faith, the Word of God, fellowship, everything else, as important as that is, but that is secondary to me and God first and foremost. You have got to get that one right, and only you can do it. I can only present it to you. How you achieve this, how you work this out with God, that is entirely up to you. Because it will never work otherwise. It will never work. And not only that, you will be disappointed. Because even the promises and the blessings of God's word will eventually disappoint you. Because that is human nature. You will soon grow tired of it. As man does. That's why he's desperately always looking for new fashions, for new things, better things to excite him and so forth. But of course we know there's nothing new under the sun, but he doesn't want to acknowledge that one at all. I so find it amusing with this generation, how they're so attracted to 60s, 70s and 80s styles.
Mm-hmm.
And they think it's great, it's new, it's cool and everything, but we got news from them. We all wore it. We all wore it. That's the irony behind it all, you see? No, God wants us to walk by faith. But how many of us are waiting for him simply to appear to us? I walk by faith, yes, but I want him to appear to me. I want him to make the first move. And then I'll step out the boat. You see? We've got a faith that still at the moment works that way. I believe when he appears, when he makes the first move, and then I'll step out. Faith doesn't do that. You see, if your relationship is sound and secure with God, where there is any opportunities of faith, where faith is to believe, where faith is to be acted upon, you won't look for any evidence. You won't look for him to make that first move. Faith will know what to do because it's motivated by my relationship, my consecration to God and God alone. That's the only way it will work. You may know the promises, but you may not necessarily act upon the promises. Faith will only act and move with that perfect rest that accompanies it, coming from a relationship with the Lord. You see, when two people come together and they love one another and they become one flesh, they are not looking at one another, well, I'll do it if you do it. No, I'll do it if you do it. No, we'll go out today if you want to go out today. You don't. Somehow it just happens. Or we'll go down to the coast today. Yeah, what a great idea. Let's go. Just happens. You're moving together. You're in harmony. In oneness. How much more with God? You see? We need to pick up the Father's heart. We need his heartbeat.
Yes.
We need the flow that flows through him to flow through us. Amen. We need to be one with his mind, his thinking, his heart. And not keep asking questions. Why? When? What are you saying? When will you bless me? When will I see my rebellious daughters saved? And so forth. When we're one in harmony with him, everything flows from that. No striving.
Thank you, Jesus.
You are seeking the kingdom of God. These things are all being added to you. You're not worried about where your next meal's going to come. Can I pay those bills at the end of the month or whatever it is? You are in oneness and harmony with him. That is why faith doesn't change. Because God doesn't change. And we're not going to look to him to make the first move. Why? Because we move together. Jesus on the earth moved together with his Father. Because
yeah.
He couldn't be separated.
Praise the Lord.
And neither can you be separated from the love of God.
Mighty Lord.
When we no longer seek God for his blessings, we have time to seek him for himself.
Amen.
I'll give that again. When we no longer seek God for his blessings, we have time to seek him for himself. And only you will come to that place. And God's working that with us. You see, our faith cannot rely on anything else than his faithfulness. Himself. And when you are consumed completely in Jesus, faith will know what to do. And that is what the bride is destined for. That is what the overcomers are destined for. To be completely consumed in each other because nothing else matters. Nothing else is of importance. How often you see that, don't you? When two couples come together, they're utterly consumed in themselves and everything else just doesn't matter. They're not interested in anything else. And of course it causes problems, doesn't it, in the household and whatever it is. They don't worry about anything else, their commitments or things that they should do. All they care about is each other. How often have you heard parents say that? Well, there's a principle to it. That's what we should be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else matters except Him, Christ, crucified. That's what He's working in your life and my life. And all He asks you to do is to let go. Stop holding on to the obstacles. Just let go. And I will work my love. And I will perfect my love in your hearts. Because only God can do it. Let us feed off the life of God that lives in and through us. Let that be our feeding. Let that be our inspiration. Let that be our strength. Let that be our mind, our motivation, our all, our being, that I draw from the life of God that lives in me. That is why our walk of faith doesn't change, brothers and sisters. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, again, you have spoken life into our hearts and being today. Lord, we believe that we have been changed by this word, by the anointing. We believe, Father, that it doesn't lie in us. You first loved us. Wasn't even in us, Lord, to love you. You even had to place that gift of faith in our hearts for us to accept you. So, Father, we thank you today. We thank you, Lord, for the greatest gift that you have given us, which is our salvation in Jesus Christ. But Lord, it not only stops there, you're showing us that we can become sons of God in these last days. That we don't have to remain as children, but we can start to grow up, grow in the Spirit. This is why you gave us the deeper life, that we can grow and move as far as we want through the baptism of the Spirit in you. Father, help us to put away those childish things, those things that we still want to hold on to, that hinder us and hold us back. The greatest gift that we can embrace and behold is you and you alone. Father, work this, we ask. May none of us be left outside from what we've heard today. Let all of us enter in to the blessing of this word. And my prayer is that our faith will fail not. For this we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
There's no disguise.